Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of the month. Here it is, August 1st already. We're in Columbus today with Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello, welcome. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on this show.
Welcome back to Columbus. Yeah, it's good to see you.
It's good
to see you.
It's still warm.
It's warm. It's not as warm as it has been.
No.
But yeah, upper 70s, lower 80s. That's good weather for me. I kind of like it that way. I don't like it too hot. I mean, the 90s aren't my style. But yeah, it's working fine.
Yeah, we did have some pretty hot days last week. Does the city offer suggestions for people to go if they just can't find the cooling places?
Yeah, we've got a variety of public facilities that are open. We talk about Donner Center, the Hamilton Ice Center, Nexus Park. There's a walking track on the inside there. The Commons. There are also a variety of other public buildings, the library. Some folks ride a bus, you know, so there are ways to sort of get a respite from the heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, after this, I'm going to head over to the Crump Theater there to check out the work that's being done.
Sure.
And, I mean, obviously we know it's a historic building that's not really been in the public place for quite a bit. Can you just take us back a little bit to a little bit of the history of the Crump and what's being done now to save it?
Well, the building dates back to the 1880s, and so you've got a very old masonry structure that at times is showing its age. I want to say in the 1940s, maybe the early 1940 time frame, right before World War II, it was renovated to what we call an Art Deco style, and pretty much made a single-purpose facility, or made into a single-purpose facility, which was to show movies. And it was a big theater at the time, and had a lengthy run. I remember going to movies there when I was a kid back in the 60s, and it was always interesting, always fun to go down there and watch the latest Disney flick or what have you. I'll say maybe several years ago, there were some concerns, maybe 10 years ago, some concerns about the structural integrity. There were some issues with respect to some of the roof trusses, particularly those towards the stage area, and that necessitated a closure of the building to the public. You know, so there were still people inside working, you know, to try to renovate the space, and they've got a committee now that is particularly energetic, that has scoured Indiana for spare seats and you know, spare lighting and spare whatever you have. And then there are a number of volunteers from around the community who have come in to help clean those seats, clean the floors, clean the balcony, just do a variety of fix-up repairs. And my anticipation is that they'll be able to host a ticketed event here in a couple months. You know, so yeah, it's kind of neat to see it come back to life. At the end of the day, it's going to be difficult to do a lot more in there than, you know, show movies and maybe have some light entertainment. But yeah, it should be fun. Yeah.
What does it mean to not only the history of Columbus, but economic development as well to the downtown to have that back?
Well, that's to be determined. I mean, in terms of the value, the economic value of it, because we really don't know, you know, what kind of events they're going to be able to host there and what kind of crowds those will draw. But it's a neat piece of history, and nice to be able to get back in there and visit it once again.
Correct me if I'm wrong, that's a block away from where you would want the new conference center. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
And that land is there and available. That could create some activity.
You would hope that you could get some synergy,
right?
And again, it all depends on whether all this can come together, you know, on the schedule that we put forward, and what kind of events, you know, they'll be able to hold there. It would seem to be an adjunct or a ready adjunct to a conference center, sort of to provide a theater type setting, you know, as you might expect. And so we'll see, you know, how that works out. But yeah, we'll wait to see how many it'll seat. I've not heard what the new capacity will be. We've got a couple other venues in town. So the high school auditoriums are a little bit bigger. I mean, maybe 1,000 to 1,200 seats. I don't think they're gonna have that many in the Crump, but it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
There was an interesting thing that I read, I believe, in the Republic about getting through certain obstacles to be able to get it open to the public again. And, I mean, obviously you want it to be safe, but there are different standards, too. How do you get the crump to be able to get through the standards to be able to open again?
Well, you sit down with your code enforcement people, your building code people, and you just sort of walk through what it will take to accommodate a crowd. Because a big part of what I think they're trying to get at is how do you get out in the case of an emergency? You know, how easy or difficult is the egress if we have to empty the building in short time? I think there's some structural issues. As I mentioned earlier, there were some roof trusses that needed to be replaced. These were mostly towards the stage end of the building. I think they're going to be able to get all that done. There were, always worried about any other part of the building, something that old, just making sure that it's structural integrity. And so we'll have some code people, climbing around in there, shining some flashlights up into the corners, making sure that what's supposed to be there is there.
So how about an update on the proposed conference center that would be across the street?
Right.
Last time we talked, a couple months ago, the process of getting a consultant.
Well, we, with respect to the conference center, we have re-engaged the consultant that we had, Hundin Strategic Partners, and part of that re-engagement was to determine whether or not the conference center was still a viable amenity, something that we wanted here in Columbus. And he confirmed that, yeah, it is. I mean, that's something that we really do want to do. The conference center, the hotel that would go with it, would be able to replace what we had at the Clarion Hotel back several years ago now when it was in operation. But we've had several discussions since with the proposed developers and reached a bit of an impasse, in terms of how we would go forward there. So we have begun to talk to Dora Hospitality. They had been our second place finisher several years ago when we picked Vic Sprague. Dora has asked us to take a look at another location here in town, and we're going to do that. I mean, we're going to try to be thoughtful, in terms of whether we go forward with this, and if so, where. But at the same time, that may require us to reissue the RFP since we're looking at a different site, and that'll add several months to the project. So we're kind of taking that proverbial step backwards right now and try to take a deeper look or a broader look as to just where this would go and again, how much it's really going to cost. I mean, we had sort of penciled in, I want to say about 30,000 square feet. I don't know that we'll do that. We just need to rethink the numbers a little bit. So we still believe that it's a viable project. It makes sense, but we've got some work to do.
So where is that new site and why?
Over towards the post office, and Dora's interested in it because he's already got a hotel over there, And there's an existing parking garage over there. The project that we contemplated would require the construction of a parking garage. And, why build one if you've already got one? Now, the one that we are referring to is over on Jackson Street. Yeah, it already exists, but it's already being used. So, I don't know how many seats you're talking about trying to accommodate maybe 500 people, in a ballroom type setting. And so you've got to contemplate maybe 250 cars. And so where would you put them? And there's some room over there, not just in the existing garage, but some surface lots that exist. But we got to work through all that, just to try to understand how that would fit together, how it would connect. Because the folks who are in that industry tell me that it's important for the hotel to connect to the conference center, all-weather connection. A little less important that it connect to the parking, but that's valuable, it's desirable, but really critical that it connect, that the hotel connect to the conference center. So we've got to figure all that stuff out, and we'll let you know.
Talked to Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton a couple weeks ago, and he said a good handful of residents are now getting high-speed internet through the broadband installation that has been going on. What's the update here in Columbus?
Well, I don't think we're ready to sign anybody up yet. I don't think we're quite that far along. But they tell me that we are complete in construction in the big block area, which is generally, like 2nd Street north to 25th, and then, say, Washington Street over to Central, if you're sort of familiar with the streets here in Columbus. And so people should be able to sign up soon. They were out at, Gigabit Now, were out at the county fair last month, and they were signing up people out there. And so we expect to have service available soon. You know, sometimes the dates tend to get pushed off a little bit, but it'll be up this summer.
So, but can people preliminarily sign up now for it?
It's my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah. You go to Gigabit Now's website, you'll, you know, look around for Columbus, and
Are you happy, or are they happy? Have you heard of the people?
Have not heard. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. The city of Columbus is looking for updated information on the community's housing needs. It's something you've talked about many times on this show.
Right.
And now they want to fund a more in-depth study.
Right.
Give us a little bit of background on that.
Yeah, I mean, what I sometimes tell people is that Columbus needs more housing at all price points. You know, there's a demand for housing units, like I said, at all price points. But part of what we would like to understand is where is the need most acute, you know, and how do you segment that market? I mean, are we talking about houses between 150 and 250,000, 250 and 500, and 500 and above, or are those demarcation points somewhere else? Because, you know, it's interesting or important to us to be able to explain to any prospective developer, you know, this is the kind of house or this is the kind of price range that we want you to target. And particularly if we're going to end up talking about any incentives. You know, the city's redevelopment commission has authorized to pay for this study or authorized payment of the study. And so their ability to use the results will depend upon, you know, the kind of information they get and how well we can present that then to developers. Because again, what we'll be trying to do is say, well, we've got a bigger need in the 100 to 150 range. That may be changed before, you know, when we get the final study. But that will allow us then to say that's where we want to get, I'll say 25% of your units, you know, and then we want 20% in a different segment and so on. Just maybe have a little bit more focused approach on how we kind of address this. Because part of what we know is coming on is there's continued annexation, you know, but what we're particularly focused on is what happens out at the what they call the Columbus Regional Hospital farm property, and the plan that they intend to present here in a couple nights at Plan Commission would contemplate about 1,000 units. And so if the developer comes to town and they want some taxpayer assistance, redevelopment assistance to construct those, well then we want to be informed as to what kind of unit we want to get. We've got other housing opportunities around town, but they're generally on small plots of land. And when you get a small plot of land, you get kind of limited with respect to the people who will talk to you about that and what kind of housing that you can really put on there. The housing study won't help much with respect to that. But with respect to this bigger project and with respect to future annexation at the edges of the city, you know, we will hope to get some data that will help us inform the developers in terms of what we really would like to see there.
Would this also affect rezoning of the downtown? Because I assume, you know, there's single family, there's maybe multi, plex,
I don't know.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Would that information be helpful in future zoning of
sure.
the downtown or rezoning of the downtown?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that our zoning at the present time is too restrictive in terms of preventing the kind of housing that we want built. You've got, some homeowners associations that have their, you know, their overlay, so to speak, of rules on whatever ground that they've got. But I don't anticipate any big changes to the zoning or building codes to come from this.
Before we sat down, we talked about what's on your mind right now and budget. It's always budget. You're always looking at budgets, right?
Always thinking about money, yeah.
But it seemed like the top of thing was police and fire budgets.
Yeah, there's two or three things going on. And with respect to police, the state of Indiana has announced and begun to implement some significant increases to the pay for Indiana State Police. And they kind of drive the market, if you will, in terms of setting a standard that most of our officers try to get to. I think most of our officers understand that being a trooper for the Indiana State Police is not the same as being a police officer. You know, when you're out there on the interstate, you're kind of out there by yourself. Here in the city of Columbus, we have an officer who's got a call, we've got backup there within a matter of minutes. And that just doesn't happen out there on the interstate. But nonetheless, when the state of Indiana sort of dangles a 15-16% increase in compensation, we can't ignore that. And so we are going to work towards a goal like that. We're trying to put together some numbers now, because compensation is not as straightforward for those guys. It's not, and gals, it's not as straightforward as you might think. They work a rather unique shift. They're working the weekends, most holidays, and there are different types of incentive pays that are a percentage of what the base comp is. And so it takes a little bit of work to noodle through the numbers, but at the end of the day, we know that it's going to be significantly more expensive than what we're paying today. And we're going to see something similar with respect to fire. You know, I don't know just how those numbers will work out, but it's a similarly difficult, involved calculation. We obviously don't worry about the Indiana State Police with respect to fire, but we do worry about what Indianapolis Fire does. And what they set, the standards they set up there, tend to trickle down, you know, through Johnson County to get to us. And, you know, if we don't respond, our firefighters head up to, you know, Franklin or Bargersville or Greenwood or some other place. So we'll be responsive. We don't want to become a training ground, you know, for the bigger departments. But yeah, it's going to force us to spend a lot of time thinking about our budget. At the same time, the Indiana State Legislature, in an effort to help people on their property taxes, placed a 4% growth limit on our levy. And, you know, if you're trying to provide 16% increases in comp, and you can only raise your property tax levy by 4%, it kind of, you know, will provide us with some choices that we've got to make, and some way to try to squeeze a big number into a smaller one. And typically those don't go well, but we've got some thoughts, you know, in terms of, you know, how to make that work, at least make it work over a multi-year period.
I did see in the Republic, too, there was an overtime issue with the fire department, about 500, mm-hmm. or is it 5 million?
Yeah, closer to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issue you get into is there are some folks who, you know, get sick. Then we have to, you know, backfill with another person. There are some open positions that you know, we get filled, but it takes a while to fill them to get people through the training that they need to. So while they're doing that, while we're waiting for the training or whatever, we fill that with people, you know, with overtime from some other folks. So yeah, it puts us in a little bit of a bind there as well.
Yeah, and so I just want to make sure half million. I think I'm at 500,000, and
I still a lot of money.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. I know we're getting close on time. I do want to mention Exhibit Columbus is coming up. And
yeah.
I know Washington and 4th Street, stuff is happening already. What are people going to start seeing?
Well, they're going to start seeing some really neat installations all over the mm-hmm. downtown area. I want to say there are going to be 11, but maybe 12. Some of these will be maybe from higher profile architectural firms. Then there'll be some architectural programs from some of the universities. And as always, the high school students here really put a lot of effort into, you know, an installation that's not fun and gives us a little bit of insight into how kids think, perhaps. But yeah, that'll come up, I want to say the 25th of August is when that opens, 25th, 26th. And in particular, there will be an installation on over the intersection of 4th and Washington. This will be, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it's they call it Oculus. So it, as the name kind of infers, it's round, and there's a hole at the top. It will have a steel superstructure with some fabric to cover it. There'll be some lighting underneath, as well as some music, I believe, provided by Ovation, or you know, the company here in town at the corner of 4th and Washington. It will be a unique installation. So, you know, we'll invite everybody to come down, take a look. We'll have, you know, a couple of events that weekend. I want to say the 25th is a Friday. So, encourage everybody to come on down, see Columbus. This will be the fourth Exhibit Columbus that we've had. And they've all been a lot of fun. This one proves to be, or it sounds like it's going to be, you know, right up there with the rest.
Yeah, I think 1 year we met at an installation and did the whole show sitting in one.
I think you're right.
It was great. Maybe we have to look and see if that's an opportunity in September.
They will be here and still be here in September and October.
And October, too, when it's a little cooler, maybe. Yeah,
let's do it. Yeah.
I would like to give you the last word. Any announcements, anything else we need to know before we head off today?
Well, we're still Community of the Year. You know,
yes,
we don't want people to forget
the celebration continues.
Exactly. That, you know, we continue to live in a very special place. And, you know, it's all the people of Columbus that make it that way. But I'm particularly proud to be able to be the mayor when we get recognition like that. We're really happy about Nexus Park. It continues on schedule. You know, we were talking about the other day that we're going to have to plan for several grand openings. There'll be one for the hospital, for CRH, for its location. I think we'll have a second one for the field house, a third for the park space, and a fourth for the grounds. So there'll be plenty to celebrate out there.
All right. Thanks so much for your time. We'll see you next month.
Take care.